Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the President's address today proposing to lower the nation's future deficit by $4 trillion in a way that does not cut benefits for the poor and elderly to pay for tax breaks for the rich. Michael Hudson from the Center for Public Integrity joins us to analyze Obama's proposals in a political climate in which liberals do not want programs cut, moderates want bipartisan cooperation, and conservatives refuse to even consider tax increases. Then we'll discuss divisions within NATO, which appears to be floundering in their role of protecting Libyan rebels following the exit of America and the handover to the Europeans. A former U.S. ambassador to NATO, Robert Hunter, joins us to assess the current stalemate and analyze the British and French foreign ministers' call for a more vigorous intervention. Then finally, we'll explore the possibility of a grassroots movement emerging on the left to counter the dominant right-wing political and media machine in a talk with Jason Rosenbaum, who is the online campaign director for the Progressive Change Campaign, following the president's speech today that offered a counter to the deficit hoax and the destruction of what is left of a social contract in America, we'll look into whether or not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Let us now turn to a discussion on President Obama's speech today. Joining me is Michael Hudson, who is with the Center for Public Integrity and author of The Monster, How a Gang of Predatory Lenders and Wall Street Bankers Fleeced America and Spawned a Global Crisis. He's also the co-author of Merchants of Misery, How Corporate America Profits from Poverty, and previously worked as a reporter for The Wall Street Journal and as a senior investigator for the Center for Responsible Lending. Thank you for joining us here today on Background Briefing, Michael Hudson.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And the president's speech today was welcome, at least to my mind, in as much as the Republicans have entirely captured the narrative on deficits, and they are also appear to have the political initiative. And most of the American people seem to think that even though their personal debt crisis, household debt crisis, should be more important to them, this abstraction of this deficit, which most serious economists recognize as a total hoax, you don't cut funding and spending while you're in a recession, is nevertheless capturing the attention of the nation and the media. So do you think he did anything to dent that?
I think he put a little dent in that, but not much. I think in large degree he's sort of accepting the terms of conflict that the Republicans have laid out. Now, he did say some strong things. He talked about Paul Ryan, Paul Ryan's House Republican budget proposal, and said, you know, there's nothing serious about a plan that claims to reduce the deficit by spending $1 trillion on tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires, and there's nothing courageous about asking average folks and poor people who don't have clout on Capitol Hill to be the ones who are making the sacrifices.
Well, that's exactly what they are calling for. I mean, I think... Thank God somebody's pointed out the obscenity of squeezing $4 billion out of the poor and elderly while allowing these massive tax breaks that not only exist, but Paul Ryan's budget is cutting the top rate down to 25% and the corporate tax almost out of existence.
You know, he talked about protecting Social Security, he talked about protecting Medicare. I don't know if he drew enough of, you know, if he's trying to let people know, especially older Americans, know that he's on their side on these issues. I don't know if he drew enough of a line in the sand. He suggested a bit of a space between him and the Republicans on these issues, but I don't know if there was a stark contrast that's going to reverberate with seniors or even, you know, adult, you know, people in their 30s and 40s and 50s who have older parents that they're worried about. How are they going to get by? Things are tough, you know. In the old days, you often could depend on the fact that you've got the homestead paid off, you've got the house paid off, so you don't have mortgage payments, or you could even sell the house and live off of that. But many, many older folks, in fact, a large portion of the folks who are facing mortgage problems are in the 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 year old group. So people, we've got people now going into their retirements loaded up on debt with huge mortgage payments.
Well, Michael Hudson, I guess in a way, I mean, I think it's the elderly should assume that the president is on their side. There's no indication that he's not. But the real issue is, do the elderly in this country and most Americans recognize the true intentions of the Republican Party, which seem to be completely and absolutely dedicated to the wealthy and to corporate power? And they want to, and they plan to, and they're determined to eviscerate what's left of a social contract in this country. They want to get rid of it all. They want to privatize Social Security. They want to privatize Medicare. And we know what these vouchers will do. They'll be absolutely worthless. So the writing's on the wall. Do you think the president helped a little bit in getting this reality out there?
I think he did. But I still worry that it was a little bit of a political statement made in a vacuum, that this traumatic economic recession that we're in, you know, was really just an afterthought in the speech. It was some, you know, he didn't use the words Wall Street, meltdown, disaster, fraud, housing, foreclosure, eviction. As a matter of fact, the only house that he mentioned in his speech was the House of Representatives and our physical house, which he said we need to get in order. You know, he talked about government debt, but he didn't talk, as you said, he didn't talk about the crushing debts that people are dealing with in every hometown and metropolis in the country. And he mentions interest rates, but he didn't mention the unemployment rate. So I do worry that he is saying, you know, I'm not going to do what the Republicans want to do. At best, I'm going to meet them halfway. I'm afraid that people are going to see him as giving in to their agenda, or at least you know, taking rather than drawing a line in the sand, you know, trying to find some compromise, and again, letting their agenda be the thing that really drives the public debate.
Again, I'm speaking with Michael Hudson, who is with the Center for Public Integrity and the author of The Monster. But realistically, I know progressives are always on the president's back. They're not the wind at his back. They're on his back, and there's a big difference, I think. And the conservatives are determined to destroy him, and the centrists really want everybody to be nice to each other, which is never going to happen. So this is the climate that this president is working in. He's got the progressives on his side who are abandoning him. They don't want him to cut any programs. The moderates want bipartisan cooperation, and conservatives refuse to even consider tax increases. So what does he do? How does he translate what he said today, which I think is manifestly overdue and necessary, which is to bring back some economic justice and fairness and not to you know, squeeze the American people out of existence and destroy the middle class? How's he going to get there?
That's a good question. I think he needs to continue talking about this. He needs to continue talking about how we got here, not just where we are, but the problems that are out there with average folks. I don't know if he connected enough to average voters and average Americans who are struggling. So I think he needs to come back, and you know, he needs to do things which maybe aren't on this particular issue right on point. But things like making sure that the foreclosure relief program for struggling homeowners out there is actually working, and rather than you know, kind of sputtering as it has for the last couple of years. That's not only going to help individuals, homeowners, but it's going to help the economy, help get this housing mess, help us start moving to put it behind us.
So do you think then, Michael Hudson, I mean, he did point out that the Republicans want to cut clean energy by 70%, education by 25%, and transportation by 30%, along with, Medicare and Medicaid and aid to the elderly and pregnant women and children, and essentially, in the broad sense, you know, declaring war on the poor. The problem I have is that given that is their priority, did you feel that the president, you say that he didn't talk about Wall Street and all these other things, would it have helped, do you think, for him? Because I think he's trying to reach out to the middle here, and that's why he's not saying the stuff that you or I perhaps want to hear. But what about saying, for example, that you guys are apparently obsessed with this deficit, which is a hoax, and it doesn't count during a recession. It's the last thing we should be talking about. What we should be talking about is getting people back to work. But if you want to talk about it, let's talk about it. Let's point out that one third of this deficit, this national debt, was caused by George W. Bush, and one half was caused by Bush Jr. and Senior and Reagan combined. So why don't you guys start offering some apologies, not to mention solutions?
I think making this conversation that it's not in a vacuum, that it's not just we're here, we're in this recession, and we're in this budget deficit, so now we need to move forward. But yeah, pinning some accountability on everyone involved. The Democrats played a role in this. The Republicans played a role, but you know, Obama inherited much of this. You know, his much of the deficit spending that's come under him was a direct response to this really almost apocalyptic, you know, financial meltdown in late 2008, early 2009.
And the two unfunded wars that right. preceded that. Anybody's welcome to look at the numbers, but George W. Bush certainly did run up one third of the national debt from in 8 years, you know, one third of the entire history of this republic in terms of its right. indebtedness. And Bush Senior and him and Reagan combined ran up a half of it. So. I'm just astounded that suddenly become a problem, particularly after the poor, beleaguered middle class taxpayers bailed out the wealthy, who took the economy into a near death experience, got rewarded, and they're richer and more powerful than ever, and Main Street is languishing. So it's an extraordinary example of a kind of Robin Hood in reverse that's going on here.
Absolutely. So I think the danger for Obama, if he's seen by average folks who are suffering, if he's seen doing too much compromising with Republicans, too much letting them drive the agenda. But you know, I think Miley Ivan said this. You know, if voters have a choice between a Republican and a Democrat who's trying to act like a Republican, they usually say, "Well, I might as well vote for the Republican." So I think it could hurt him politically. And you know, you talk about the middle. I think people in the middle, this is not just progressives, but people in the middle are upset about what happened. They're upset about Wall Street. They're upset about the banks. You look at most surveys, and there's broad concern about what happened on Wall Street and about the power that the financial industry has.
So Michael Hudson, you're more or less saying that Obama's handlers have got it wrong, because my understanding is that he's trying to reach out to the center, the swing votes that he needs to get reelected, and the Democrats need to regain a majority, and that the way to approach the center in this country is to be optimistic like Reagan was, and not to be negative and pessimistic and bitter about what the other side has done. But you're saying, no, he should really talk tough, because the center is also mad as hell. Is that?
If he's depending on me for political advice, he might be in trouble. But I do think that if he thinks that taking a sort of centrist tact is what's going to get him reelected, I just don't know, because the country is in trouble. Unemployment rate is still extremely high. A lot of people are suffering, and the presidential incumbents have a lot of advantages, but it can turn to a pretty stark disadvantage, if the economy is bad, especially if the economy is bad for a long time.
Well, that seems to be the Republican strategy, not to cooperate. To even create a double dip with their deficit obsession, they could create a double dip recession and really make things uncomfortable, and on the theory that maybe they'll get reelected. I mean, if they're that cynical, it's a disgrace, but I think that's a distinct possibility.
Or you go back to 1937 with Roosevelt, with FDR, under, he had, there was a lot of stimulus, a lot of New Deal programs that helped the country slowly climb out of the Great Depression or start to at least survive. But you know, in 1937, he cut spending, and many economists believe that this really deepened and prolonged the Depression by driving unemployment back into double digits, and it led to a major defeat for the Democrats in the 1938 midterm. So I don't know if this is analogous, but I see that possibility if he spends a lot of time cutting programs, cutting spending, cutting back on the stimulus. If we get continuing high unemployment, or if we start to get an uptick in unemployment, then he will suffer. The Democrats will suffer.
Sure. Well, look, we've run out of time here, and I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Michael Hudson.
Great. Thanks so much.
Again, Michael Hudson is with the Center for Public Integrity and the author of The Monster, How a Gang of Predatory Lenders on Wall Street and Wall Street Bankers Fleeced America and Spawned a Global Crisis. We'll take a brief station break, and we're back talking about divisions within NATO.